very humble people. They don't have a lot. My grandson is better shape than their houses. Now they got in their home some, just one 50-watt light bulb to light their home. They have nothing, and yet they're very, very happy people. And just amazes me how happy they were. They're just, but here in Canada and in other parts of the world, we have everything, and we still want more. The more we want, the more we want. But there, they just seem just so happy, and they're just wonderful people. But as I say, I went down there, and I had signed up to do on the working crew to do the work. And as I say, I was 44 years ago today, so I'm 66, but I'm young 66. I'll soon be 66, but I feel good. Jesus is good to me. He's kept me over the years, you know, and He's given me a wonderful family. Three wonderful children, six wonderful grandchildren. And He has kept me over the years. But anyway, I went down there, and I was supposed to do the labor for the Pharaoh, but Bruce is kind of we call him the Pharaoh down there, because he was, but there was good reason. He was a wonderful leader for us, we're really scared of him. So we went down there, and I worked for a day and a half cleaning up, and I tried the other day carrying those buckets of sand and stone and cement up the hill and then up a ladder onto the roof. And once you got to the roof, you had to dump it on the roof. And I'd done the best I could, and I said to Bruce, I don't think I can do this. But I said, I can do work with the children, because I love working with children. I worked with children all my life through hockey and football. So I felt that I was, and Joanne said to me, I talked to her on the phone, I felt so bad that I couldn't fit in to do the work of the men, because, as I say, I'm not getting any younger. But anyway, I worked with the children, and I coached football and played football for all my years. We call it soccer. There they call it football. And I played for years and coached it, so I knew my football. And football down there is almost like a god to them. And I said that I coach football. And he says, you coach Canada's national team? I said, no. I said, no, I just coach ordinary kids like you guys. So anyway, I'm out there playing with them, and I'm kicking the ball around, and I got bruises all over my ankles and all over my legs. But anyway, I enjoyed it. But anyway, I'm kicking the ball up in the air to get them a head ball. And I said, well, I'll kick it up to that tree, up to the tree. Kick it up to the sky, man. Up to the sky. They didn't understand high. So they said, kick it up in the sky. But anyway, they're wonderful people. So anyway, I got to work with on the DVBS with the women. I played my guitar and helped run the games. We just had a wonderful time. As I say, you could write a book on all the stuff that we've done down there. But anyway, I was talking to the kids, and I really got to be their friends. One thing I learned, Bruce told me before you get down, don't promise them anything. So anyway, I was there, and they all want candy, because they don't have candy. They don't have nothing down there, no sweets or nothing. And I said, well, maybe tomorrow, because I didn't know whether I could get a candy for this one girl or one boy. And they wouldn't let me forget them. Where's the candy? Where's the candy? Where's the candy? So anyway, one thing I learned, you never promise them anything. So anyway, I worked with these children, and I really got to love them. We went to a school that had, I think, about 200 students in it. They were really blessing just to see the discipline. They wear uniforms down there. They don't dress like down there. They have all uniforms, they're really disciplined. They sang the Jamaican National Anthem, which we're going to sing later on. But I was really blessed. And after the school, we put on our talk to them. About Jesus. And after that, they all come outside, and they all got around me and that, and I just thought I was, you know, who am I, an old sinner saved by grace of God? Here's these boys looking up to me almost like a god. And I said, oh, Jesus, you can help me here. So anyway, I got to be friends with them, and they trusted me. And anyway, I got to, I'm going to try and do this in 5 minutes. I got to this little boy, his name was, not Damon, what was his name?
Jamal.
He was stealing crayons from the DBS. He was taking these crayons and stealing them. So I seen, I think it was Eileen, you know, who was talking to him. Nina, was it you? And Betty, I think it was. So anyway, he was talking to him, and the little boy sobbed and cried, must have gone for an hour. He just cried, and he just felt so bad. He was 12 and a half years old, and he stole these and they caught him stealing. They approached him on it, I don't know whether it was sorry they got caught or sorry that he stole them. But anyway, he was my buddy. And uh, So anyway, this went on, and the next day we had the VBS, and they told the stories, and the women done a wonderful job down there presenting the gospel to these little boys and girls. Just a wonderful, wonderful, and they worked so hard. You don't realize how hard those people work down there. I'm just saying, especially the men, like Josh, young. I was the oldest, but those men worked and worked in the hot heat. They just worked, and the women worked so hard preparing Betty, and she prepared everything. But anyway, Eileen said to me, she says, "Leo, I think he wants to talk to you, or he's ready to talk or something." So I took him out and went up by this rock, and I talked to him, and I explained the way of salvation, and I said, "Well, you want to accept Jesus as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes, Coach Leo." He says, "I do." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Now I said, what we're praying. This ain't fun and games." I said, "You've got to mean what you're saying." So I give him this. I went with the sinner's prayer with him. He bowed his head and he accepted Jesus. And I said, "Listen." I said, "Do you feel any different? Do you feel any difference?" "Yeah." I said, "Something in my heart. Something in my heart." I said, "That's the Holy Spirit." I said, "That happened to me when I was 22 years old, back in Calvary Baptist Church. I was around just an old sinner handing out booze at Calvary Baptist at the General Motors, and this guy witnessed to me, and he saved me. I'd never been in church before. I thought all Bibles were black. I knew nothing about Jesus, but now all I talk about is Jesus. I tell everybody about Jesus." So I told him about Jesus. He says, "Yeah." I said, "Now you got to go tell somebody about Jesus. I said, tell them that you accepted Jesus in your heart. You got to go to Sunday school and you have to go to church." So I think he went over and told Eileen. I think it was Eileen who told that he accepted Jesus as a Savior. But anyway, we had 15 young people or children that made confessions for Christ. And as I say, God told us to spread, to sow the seed. The fields are white unto harvest. And I've asked God, to use me. I said, "God, use me." And God will use you. If you ask Him to use you, and then look for Him to use you, have faith that He's going to use you. And God's been using me. I've come to this church 6 years ago, and I haven't been the same since. I was on fire before, but now I'm really on fire. Because if you come to this church, you're going to hear the message, you must be born again. And I'm born again, and I'm proud of it. Some say, "Leo, you're a fanatic." I say, "Thank you, I appreciate that." But anyway, I've been teased, but I know where I'm going, and it was just a wonderful experience for me to go to Jamaica, and I love to tell the story of Jesus. You know, anyone that's here, maybe you've lost your first love. Come back to your first love, and Jesus will use you. He'll excite you. Look at me, just a man, 66 years old, and God is using me. Why would He use me? Guy with a grade 4, grade 5 education. But now I'm in Jesus school. Jesus is teaching me a lot. And I thank this church. You've loved me in here. You've been good to me. And I just praise God that can be used. Thank you.
Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joshua Boyle. And if there was going to be one thing, if I had to pick one thing I learned on the Jamaica trip, was definitely the major thing I learned was that you have to trust in God. Now, I was the youngest member of the team, and honestly, before I was going, I was like, they told me I was going to be on the construction team, and I was like, "Oh boy," because I'm not really used to much manual labor, and so I didn't know what to think. Like, I thought, like, "Oh, I'm not going to be able to keep up with these guys," and I just thought I was going to get in the way for a while, But what I found was, but that's when I was relying on my own strength. And honestly, I'm not physically strong. I'm not that big at all. So if I was trying to do the work on my own, lifting those buckets up the hill, up the ladder, onto the roof, then again, and you do that for about a few hours, and then maybe you get a 5-minute break and then you keep going again. but I would not have been able to do that on my own power. And it's a really common verse, but I know it's Philippians 4:13, and it says, "I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." And there was times when as you came up the side of the church to lift up the buckets onto the roof, there was actually a hill. And it went up and around and up the ladder. And every now and then, as you get tired, that hill just kept on seeming to get steeper and longer. And it's just like, God, I'm not going to be able to get through this. But I thank God because he gave me the strength to do it. And I definitely would not have been able to do it without God. On my own strength, I would have just been probably useless. But God used me anyways, and I thank him for it. And another verse that came to mind was actually a verse that my sister Christine, who's going to Word of Life right now, she before I went to Jamaica, she called me and was talking to me about going to Jamaica, and she gave me this verse. And God is able to make, oh, actually, another thing. She told me to circle all and abound every time it comes up. So it said, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And she told me to read that when I got discouraged. And the thing is that it doesn't matter, like, who you are, like, if you're not physically strong or anything like that, because if you trust in God, he'll give you the grace to do whatever you need to do when at whatever time, wherever you are, and he'll give you everything you need to do it. So I definitely learned in Jamaica just to trust in God, and I don't know, it was just an awesome experience, and also not just with work, like with physical labor. I know that before I went, I was like, God, I need to change. I know I haven't been living a good life, and I was hoping that the Jamaica trip would do a work in me, and it has. It's not only just trusting God with things like that, but also I tried to change on my own. Trying to change things about my habits and my lifestyle, but I can't do that without God's power. He's the only one that can change people, who can really change people into people who are effective. And And another thing that was interesting is that as we were working, there's a few times it was really cool because as we were working, all the guys, we were all working all the time. And everyone had really good attitudes, and we were always there to help each other and stuff like that. And surprisingly, like, there wasn't anyone complaining about wanting a break. There's people, it was more like people were like, when they weren't working, they're like, I want to get back into it. Because there was a few jobs when we'd work all day, and there'd be certain jobs that we had to do that only a certain number of people could work on. So there'd be a few of us standing around, and we'd be all sitting there, like, twiddling our thumbs, getting all agitated, because, like, man, I want to do some work. And I just thought about it, and I was like, That's how it should be for Christians always. There should never be a point where we're just done working for God. There never should be a point where we're just, okay, I'll just sit here and do nothing. We should always be wanting to serve God. And I kind of lost my verse here. Oh yeah, I lost it. Okay, so I don't know. It's just I lost my thoughts here. It's just, I know, it's amazing. Like, it was just an awesome experience, and I thank God that he was able to use me despite how small and weak I was, and despite maybe how unwilling I was at first. But I thank God that he used me anyways, all I could say is that just let God use you. You know, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how small or how big or how weak you think you are, because God is willing to use you if you just let him. And he'll give you the strength to do whatever he wants you to do. And he won't just give you a little bit of strength. He won't give you just enough. He'll give you strength in abundance, as it said. And
Hello. There's so much I could share with you. I could just be here for hours, but I won't do that to you. But first, I should definitely say thank you. Your generosity made this possible, and thank you very much. You were all very supportive as we had fundraisers, and you all came out, and we had a lot of fun, and just thank you so much. I wish I could share it all with you. The experience, the love that we saw with the Jamaican people, watching the Spirit of God work. I would love to take you there and express to you what the sights were like. We would get up in the morning, and really early, too early for me, and we would leave our barred up house, and we would come around the corner, and we would see these beautiful Jamaican rainforest mountains with the clouds just lifting in the mist, and it was absolutely gorgeous. The sounds, the rooster that didn't know how to tell time at about 2 in the morning, and then the dogs, and then the praise of the Jamaican people was just remarkable. It was spectacular. The driving, honking horns as you go around a corner so as not to have a head-on crash. The sight of lights coming directly at you, and then, you know, Kingsley always got us out of it, no problem, thanks to your prayers too, I'm sure, and his good driving. So you'll just have to get with other people on the team and just share those experiences with them, sitting down one-on-one. But I just wanted to share with you what the Lord showed me on this missions trip. At the end of our last meeting, before we left, Betty said something very interesting that I thought a lot about before we left and while we were there. She said that we've done our preparation and now we'll just go and see what the Lord has planned and how the Spirit is going to work. And that's really what we did. Don't get me wrong, we worked and it was tiring, but we were just vessels that the Spirit worked through. The guys might disagree because I know they have some blisters and some extra muscles to show for it, but the Spirit was certainly one that did the work. I just wanted to share one story with you about how I saw the Spirit working just second by second. And a young man named Kirk Brown. The kids in Jamaica have plenty of head knowledge about Jesus Christ and about the Bible. Every day at the beginning of class, they have 30 minutes of a Bible lesson, and they can sing all the words to all the hymns, and they could quote scripture better than me and better than most of us probably. But the work that the Holy Spirit needed to do when we were in Jamaica was move that knowledge from their heads to their hearts. So that to them it was more than just something that they did at school every morning and something that they just knew as they grew up to be right. It needed to move to their hearts. And it needed to bring them to true repentance and understanding of sin and then a grateful acceptance of the gift of Jesus Christ. So we challenged the kids on this every day. This was something that we knew. We had been, David Smith mentioned this to us before we left, and Kingsley mentioned it. So we knew to challenge the kids on this every day, but especially the last day, they were really challenged. And that day was the day that I had the privilege to watch the Spirit work in Kirk Brown, who was a 14-year-old boy. After the story and after we had our closing prayer, we invited any of the kids who wanted to truly know Jesus as their Savior to come up to the corner where some of the ladies were, to talk with them, to help them to understand and, you know, to pray with them. After that, I was to go to Craft, but there was very few kids over at Craft, so I sort of went to see if I could be helpful elsewhere. And there was a young boy walking around at the back of the church, and he was very agitated, and I thought it was because he had a pink bracelet, because the boys didn't want the pink bracelets. And I said, you know, other boys have pink bracelets, don't worry about it. And he just kept walking around and walking around. He'd walk to one corner of the church, and then he'd walk to the other corner of the church. And I started to get agitated, because I was like, you know what, you got to go with your group. Some of the kids would come sometimes and hang around to get the sweetie afterwards, you know. And I thought, oh, this is one of those kids, right? So he's wandering around, and so then Miss Janet came over and she said, listen, you got to make a choice. You got to go to your group or you got to go. And he said, Miss, I want to go over there. He pointed to where the kids were praying. And I had the privilege to talk with them to ensure that he understood what we were talking about with repentance. And he prayed and he prayed to truly accept Christ. It was awesome. And after we prayed, I told him about my family, and I said that I would introduce him to them when we got to heaven. And I asked him to go and tell his family, too. And he didn't get to do the craft because he was talking with us. And he came to me after, and he said, Miss, I have to do this craft. I need one of those wordless books because I have to go home and tell my family. So that was awesome. His word never returns void. I also saw the Spirit work in teams of team unity. Let's face it, there were 16 of us with a few strong personalities. Not to mention 6 women in one room with one bathroom. And seven if you count Mama D, who was, I don't know if we were her guests or she was our guest. I'm not really sure. There was a little conversation about that. But when we returned home, I was telling Victor about that, and we were sitting chatting. I was telling him about the unity of the team and how it was so beautiful. It was so awesome. And 5 minutes after our conversation, we were doing our devotions with our girls, and it was about that very thing. It was Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that was an awesome blessing to me. Lastly, while I was away, I was reading Leviticus. It was not my choice, but part of my yearly reading plan. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to get out of Leviticus? You know, I need something that's going to encourage me. I don't need to read about laws and, you know, all those kinds of things. I should have known better. God certainly had a lot to show me. As I was reading through the book about sacrifices and laws and ordinances that were given to God's people, I realized that when we follow His ways and according to what He has laid out in Scripture, and then make the sacrifices to Him, they will be a sweet aroma. That's what it says. And when we do this, we will see the glory of God. And we saw the glory of God. Leviticus 9:6 says, "This is what the Lord has commanded you to do, so that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Each day before VBS, we sought Him in prayer. We confessed our sins. We praised Him and prayed for His will to be done. And as a result, we saw the glory of God. Someone at work said to me, "Oh, you must feel good about yourself." And I understand why they said that. I know that from a worldly perspective, I get it. But no, I am nothing. I am just a weak sinner saved by grace. But I was blessed by seeing Him work and move in Jamaica. So to God be the glory, great things that He has done.
My name is Adina Boyle, for those of you who don't know me. Just a little word about Mama D. She is a missionary, another Canadian missionary from Ontario. I forget what town she's from.
Havelock.
And she's an older lady in her 70s, and she's working on the library at the Bible College. And I got an email from her this last week, and she said, "Oh, I missed you all for the first few days, except when I had to go to the bathroom." So... We had fun with her, and she's hoping to come visit us here. So if you could pray for her. Her name's actually Doreen, but we called her Mama D. I just wanted to share a little bit about the kids themselves to start with. When we had VBS is typically for kids from, say, 5 to 12 years old. Well, our age range was about 2 to 24 years old. Kids just come. When something is talked about, they just show up. And I don't think anything got communicated other than through word of mouth. That really stood out to me, because here we have every form of communication at our fingertips, and they just tell each other and they come. And we had big boys, like 12, maybe into their teens, who would come and they would just love to color. They'd love to color in pictures, which is just... it floors you, because here, you know, coloring's boring. It's not so cool, you know, past 5 years old. Sorry if anyone still likes to color. But, I mean, it was just amazing. Their coloring, and another thing that really stood out to me was the first two nights of VBS, we had to do it in the evening because they had school. Little tiny kids were walking home in the dark, little tiny children, and it's just normal for them. And Pastor Kingsley was talking to us about some abductions that go on, and how some kids end up in the sex trade there in Jamaica. And it's just, these are the kids we were ministering to. That really stood out to me. Now, I also want to talk about the last day of VBS, where that was the day, as Angela was talking about, when a lot of the kids came to know the Lord. I was on the other side of things. I was running one of the stations. I was doing games with Leo that day. And Janet was doing crafts, and it was crazy. That day was hectic. I could really tell that Satan was really attacking, and he didn't want what was going on to go on. And just kids were all over the place, and it was really hard, and it was stressful. But inside the church, kids were coming to know the Lord, and it was just, it was amazing. I was very blessed by the fellowship we had there. We had a lot of laughs, a lot. And I'm not going to go into all of it because it would just take forever. But actually, the first Sunday we were there, we went to church in the morning, and I became ill at church. And that afternoon, I had to stay back, and I missed evening service because I was getting better. I was better by the end of the day, but Angela stayed with me and took care of me, and I was very blessed by her, just our godly conversation and how she was able to teach me things, and the fellowship we had, and just building that relationship, and I was just so blessed. And the whole team, like, everyone just really supported each other in love. And one thing that struck me during the week, and I still feel this way, that was when we were in Jamaica doing the work we were doing, I truly felt like I was living life to the very fullest, serving God with no distractions and fellowship. And I have to say that after this trip, I have a renewed desire for God. And I've been in a university environment for, this is my sixth year. I've been going for a long time, and I hope to go on more. And for those of you who are in university now or college, you know the environment, and you know that the mouths of Christians are being shut, and it's a very scary environment, and I personally find it very hard. But one thing that's happened to me in the last few years, I've become paralyzed with fear in that environment. And I always say, you know, when I have my job, you know, when I'm in this position, when I'm a professor, I'll be able to have an impact for God in that power, in that position of authority. But leading up to this trip, it was on my mind that, maybe I will have an impact in that environment then, but I have to have that now. And I just, coming back from this trip, that really stood out to me. And just before my first class back after Jamaica, God just led me to this piece of scripture, Mark 8, verses 34 to 38. Then he called the crowd to him, this is Jesus, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And just as we were able to boldly proclaim the gospel in a country that is relatively open to the scriptures, we have to take that back here. And I think it's much more terrifying to share the gospel in Canada. But that's where we are. And we have to be content that we were in Jamaica, but now we're in Canada, and each of you are in Canada. And it's becoming increasingly more dangerous, but we can't be paralyzed by that fear the way I allowed myself to become. But even that first class I went back to, you know, "So what did you do over reading week?" And I was able to share that I was on a missions trip doing vacation Bible school. And for me, that's a step, because I have become so fearful. So hopefully I'll be bolder for him. And I feel like there are no words for this trip. I am so blessed. It was living life to the fullest. And I'm having a hard time, you know, reintegrating into my life, you know, even though I'm Canadian, I've lived here for years. But at the same time, I have to be content. I'm here, and I'm so thankful. And I'm thankful for your prayers and for just praying for us all the time. Thank you.
in Jamaica, these are the children that understood that Jesus died on a cross for my sins, that he loved me so much. God loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for me. And if I believe in him and I confess with my mouth that Jesus has saved me, I will be forgiven and I will have eternal life with him in glory one day. And we might not meet them again this side, but we will meet them in glory one day. And here are they are. Sidonie Smith, a girl, 10 years old. Kirk Brown, a boy, 14. Norval White, a boy, 12 years old. Angela Smith, 8 years old. Shanella Graham, a girl, 9 years old. Amanda, 6 years old. Najee Heaven, a girl, 11 years old. Tajay Willie, 8 years old, a boy. Javon Bernard, a boy, 9 years old. Javorn Thinker, a boy, 10 years old. Dan Ricketts, a boy, 9 years old. Jamal Ricketts, 10 years old. LJ Ricketts, 11 years old. There's a wonderful family that is going to hear God's word there. Megan Sparkley, 16 years old. Chris Ann, 5 years old. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. We're going to show some video clips now, and I want you to know that as a team, we experienced a little glimpse of glory when we were there, and that's what our feedback was when we came back from the nursing home. It was about 95 degrees that day. We didn't feel the heat. We stood for 2.5 hours. We never sat down. We never had a drink of water. We had nothing really to quench our thirst, us girls and Leo. 2.5 hours of worshiping and praising God with these seniors. They loved the Lord. They had tears streaming down their faces as we sang some good old hymns with them. And then we had the pleasure of meeting a dear, dear woman. And we didn't even realize this until after we had left the seniors' home. She was completely blind. So you're going to enjoy a video clip of her singing and worshiping God. And her heart is full for the love of Christ. And she can hardly wait till she is called home to meet her Savior. Another glimpse of glory, of course, is when we were able to meet with the children. And when we went to the school or to VBS, you know, I thought, oh, this is going to be a tremendous blessing to these children. But no, in return, those children blessed us twofold. And they sang their hearts out to Jesus, too. So you're also going to see a video of the children praising Jesus as well. So are we good to go? Yes? Okay.
If it's true, Jesus called my name.
Amen.
Amen.
You know that one? There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
Like Leo, I'm going to have to read this from my paper. I'm going to share a little bit about Jamaica experience for myself and what I believe God was showing me that I so desperately needed to understand. But before I start, I just want to thank God for calling me to be a part of this opportunity to serve Him and bringing glory to His name. Well, I have to be honest with you. I was not sure what to expect when I got down there. And the closer we got to going, I was pretty nervous. Kind of like now. However, it wasn't until we arrived at the church that early morning that I realized how nervous I really was. And it wasn't because I was going to Jamaica. It was because I realized I didn't know anyone that was going from the church that well. I knew their faces and some names, but I didn't really know them, except for Bruce and Eileen and Ange. And when I say know them, I mean really know them as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to move forward to the airport now. But before I went on this trip, I prayed to God to take me out of my comfort zone. And I think God thought it would be pretty funny to answer my prayer by kicking it off by having the airport people take away my 750-milliliter jug of skin cream. For those that you don't know me very well, it's my life. Men, please don't judge me. Yeah, good. Anyways, we got a lot done in Jamaica, thanks to God for the strength. Not just for the physical, but emotional as well. I'm going to speak a little bit more about the guys because that's who I spent most of my time with. But make no mistake, my heart was humbled and encouraged to see the way the girls and Leo work like warriors for Christ. Some days they had over 100 kids, and I'm sure they could testify that it had its challenges. But I'll leave that to someone else's testimony. I remember when the guys were working on the church, there was two things that just stayed in my mind. The first one was to see Joshua Boyle carrying buckets and gravel and sand up a hill and up a ladder to a roof of the church all day in 26 to 27 degree weather with the sun beating down on us. And Josh was feeling it. He was starting to feel like he couldn't do it anymore. But he cried out to God in his heart, and he asked God for strength to do his work. The rest of the week, Josh not only was he keeping up with the rest of us with the buckets and gravel of sand, but he was carrying 100-pound bags of concrete on his shoulders up a hill and up a ladder on a roof. The other thing that stood out in my mind and in my heart is when we were on a lunch break from work, and I was sitting with Mike, and I was feeling pretty sore and exhausted, and I was making a comment about my feet and how they were killing me. And Mike just quietly turned, and he said to me, "Count it all joy." That encouraged me and reminded me what I was there for and who I was serving. I got to know these guys all pretty well. I got to see Josh's courage and strength by God's grace. I got to see Mike's sense of humor. I got a lot of great conversations with Ryan about our families. And Jordan, I'm just glad you shaved that mustache before we went. Bruce and his bedtime movie stories. That's Bruce with a B. That's an inside joke. And Leo, you truly have a heart after God. And your wife, God bless her for putting up with your snoring. Amazing. I'm truly thankful for getting to know the Jamaicans that we worked with and ate with. God truly blessed our time together. But I'm so very humbly thankful for checking time with the team and getting to see how each and every one of you have a love in your heart for God. Make no mistake, this testimony is not about Josh or Mike or myself or the team. It's about how God is in control of our strength and our emotions. We just have to go to Him and depend on Him. It's His glory and it's His will. God showed me what I so desperately needed to see. And what I needed to see was this. I can't believe I had to go all the way to Jamaica to get to know my brothers and sisters in Christ. God showed me how important it was to be more part of His church, to serve alongside with brothers and sisters like you, to grow spiritually and to grow in my faith. Thanks be to my Father in heaven. And one last thing I would like to thank is my wife, who so humbly in obedience to God stepped aside and allowed me to be called by God to go and serve. I know how much you wanted to go. And I know the team would have loved to have you there. I love you.
Hello, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike McLean. For those of you who do know me, my name is still Mike McLean. But anyway, I just want to say, first of all, that how amazed I am that I even ended up going on this trip. It was so last minute, but I had said to my dad back in October and November that it would be such a blessing to go on a mission trip like this, and I would love to go, but I would feel bad for joining so last minute. He said to me that I should ask and see if there's an open spot on the team, and I hesitated and I didn't do it. And I ended up going to a concert, a Starfield concert, for anyone who knows who Starfield is. And the theme of the concert was that you would reign in us. And it spoke to me a lot because it was saying, like, I offer up my life, a living sacrifice, that you would reign in us. And the next song after that was, I will go, Lord, send me, to the world, to the lost, to the poor and hungry. I will go, send me. And I started praying, I will go, Lord, send me, I will go. And in mid-January, Miss Betty approached me and said, we have an opening on the Jamaica team, and we were wondering if you'd like to come with us. And I said, I'd love to go, I just have to see if I can get the time off work. So I went to work the next day, and I approached the manager, and he said, we're kind of busy right now. It would kind of hurt us if you went, but I have a soft spot in my heart for Jamaica. I went on a mission trip to Jamaica myself, and he's like, just take the time. And it was amazing. So the next day, I went about my business, getting my passport ready and everything, so I took the day off work. And I went to get my passport, and I got my picture taken, but I forgot to put money in the meter. And I was like, oh, I come out and I see the meter maid right in front of my car, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Last thing I need is more expenses when I'm going on a mission trip to Jamaica. But I come out, and there's 2 minutes left on the meter, and like I just got goosebumps. I was like, it's amazing. Like, anyway, like I knew that going on this trip wasn't a chance thing. It was a God thing, because no one, like Miss Betty didn't know that I wanted to go. And like it was a huge blessing for me to go. It was amazing. The next thing, Miss Betty asked me, do I have traveler's insurance? I'm like, traveler's what? She's like, well, if you're going out of the country, you're going to need medical insurance in case something happens. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'll go out and get it this week. The next day I go to work, which is Monday, and Laurel, the I don't know, someone higher up than me, she came to me and she said, you've been here for 3 months. You're entitled to benefits. And in these benefits, you get health benefits, you get dental care, whatever, no eye care, but there's also traveler's insurance. And I was like, I got goosebumps. I immediately started praying, and I thanked God for providing for me, because I knew it was, there's no other way. Like, it's not a coincidence. And so I shared that with Kelly. I went into the lunchroom, and I shared it with Kelly, and I told her how amazing it was. And she says, did you hear about the $500? I said, what are you talking about? She says, Bruce was at a work function, and he was given a check for $500 with no designation. The guy said, use it toward the trip wherever it's needed. And they got an email from Pastor Kingsley, and he said, I won't be able to pick up the barrels that you guys sent down because my van's broken down, and it's going to cost $500 to fix it. So they wired in the money, and it's the exact amount. Like, it's just so amazing. Like, God provided for us before we even went down. Like, the next thing was Josh Nadeau. He was supposed to be coming on this trip, and he found out he had a midterm the day we got back, and he tried to get it moved, but it was so last minute that the professor said there's no chance. So we were a little disappointed by that, and so we had an extra ticket, and we get to the airport, and there was a girl coming with us from another church. Her name was Bethany, and she had a ticket, but it happened to be a standby ticket, and we didn't know until we got to the airport. And the thing is, the plane was full, so she wouldn't have got on the plane, but she got to use Josh Nadeau's ticket, and that was a huge blessing. Like, I just sat back, and I was like, amazed. I still am, as you can tell, because I'm kind of stumbling. So we actually get to Jamaica, and initially it didn't look all that bad. I see a building that needs some concrete, and no big deal. Find out these massive piles of rocks and massive piles of sand are getting moved up a hill with buckets. And I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's not that bad. So we take up those piles, and we find out there's a dump truck coming to dump 2 more piles. So for 4 days, we're hauling rocks up a hill. But God strengthened us, and it was amazing. After carrying all the buckets and starting to feel all the fatigue, I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, I need strength. The word, like it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I needed the strength, and I prayed, and no sooner did I say amen, and I felt like the Energizer Bunny. Like, I'm not, like, no word of a lie, like, I felt like running up the hill with the buckets. It was amazing. Like, I don't know where the energy came from. Well, I do, but it didn't come from me. I was also amazed and encouraged by Joshua Boyle, or Mighty Whitey, as we called him. His looks are very deceiving. I know the Lord used Josh to encourage all of us, because to look at him, sorry, Josh, but he doesn't look all that strong, and he held in there. He showed me up. I'm really thankful for the way God protected us on this trip. As you saw the wood forms and the rebar on both sides, we stood on those wood forms. We passed buckets of concrete back and forth, and nobody fell. Nobody came close to falling. The only thing, we had one mishap. I wore an entire bucket of concrete, but that's okay. It was all in good fun, and it cooled me down. So I was so amazed by how and humbled by this trip to see how happy the Jamaicans were with what little they had. We come from North America. We're incredibly blessed, and we go to work. We make even minimum wage, like $9.50 an hour, and we're making more than they are. Like, the guys we worked with make $50 a week, and they're happy. And we come here, and we make $9.50 an hour, and we want more. We come home, we buy food, we throw out our food. We have food that spoils in our fridge because we'd rather let it spoil than take it somewhere and be inconvenienced by giving it away. And, like, that really touched me when I was in Jamaica. It was a blessing. Like, I was amazed and at how purely they worship God. They worship from the heart and not from the mind. When they're in church, they're singing and their hands are raised and their eyes are closed and they're praying to God with every single song that they sing. And it's so amazing because we worship God, but it's like a lot of times it's just we're singing the words and we're not feeling the words. We're not meaning the words. And that really touched me as well. I'm coming back from this trip renewed, refreshed, and reminded. I'm renewed in zeal, and I have a new strong passion to serve the Lord and to please Him. I'm refreshed spiritually and physically. I learned a lot from the Jamaican people's attitudes. I'm reminded by a lot of things. Number one, that God loves us, and He's called us to serve Him. Number two, that we need to put aside our earthly desires and store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Number three, that God always provides what we need and not what we want. Number four, that no matter what our plans are, God has His own, and they're way, way better than ours. And finally, that prayer is the most important thing that we can do to build a relationship with God. A good friend, actually Joshua Boyle, once said to me, on our feet we may fall, but on our knees we're invincible. And that was in Jamaica as well, and that really spoke to me. Like I spend time in prayer, but how much time do I spend talking to other people about foolishness when I could be praying and talking to the Most High God who cares for me and provides for me? I truly want to thank the people of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church for supporting our team financially, but most of all with your prayers while we were away. Without your prayers, I'm sure we would have been a lot more tired. And we got emails daily from Pastor Jacques. They were a huge encouragement, and many sermons via BlackBerry, and it was awesome. When we first got to Jamaica, Satan attempted to gain a foothold on us because we were tired, and he was trying to mess with our emotions, and He was trying to gain control over our anger and our attitudes. But I remembered James 1:19, where it says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And I just remembered that the whole trip, because there were so many times when I was carrying buckets and doing whatever, and I was just getting so fatigued, and I was like, I don't know, there's things going on that were upsetting, and I just had to remember that my wrath wasn't going to do anything. I don't know what the word is, but me getting upset wasn't going to do anything beneficial except break down the morale of the team. I just ask that you continue to pray for the team and for me as well, that we wouldn't lose the passion and the zeal that we gained on this trip, that we'd never coast in our Christian lives, but rather remember that every minute belongs to Christ, and pray that our lives will be pleasing to God, that in the end we may hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and not, "I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity." I don't really have a whole lot more to say. I do have a lot more to say, but a lot more time to say what I want to say. So I just want to say thank you very much. And actually, Pastor Jock's message this morning was what I've been thinking about all week. Like, how do we love Christ? We say we love Christ, but is it agape love or is it phileo love? And to be honest, I have to say that my love was phileo love, but it's now agape love.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jordan McDonnell, and I've started recently coming here since August, and how I got on this trip, I don't even know. It just floors me still, because two weeks before the trip, I wanted to go, but I hadn't talked to anyone about it, and then I find out there's, with the plane tickets, you buy 15, you get one free, and so there's this extra ticket to go, and I got it, so it amazed me, and like, working, it's just like, I've been in construction, doing construction for 6 years. I was like, okay, it won't be that hard. It's nothing I haven't done before. So we do our first day there, Saturday. We're probably 4 hours there. It's lifting buckets and stuff. It's hard work. We're getting tired. And okay, it's not bad. We can do this the rest of the week. But working 4 hours in a partial cloud is a lot different than working, end up being 9 hours the second day in full sun. And that day just, that made a big difference for me on that trip. Because, like the heat was immensely, like, it's incredible heat, and like, it's just working from in the summer to just working from negative 10 to all of a sudden being in 30 degrees weather, it's, you're not conditioned for it. And like, just to give you a bit of what it was like, we had a water ration of 4 bottles for the day. By lunch, I was done 3.5. I had sweat through my shirt once. It had dried on me. I was starting to sweat through it again. Where the water was coming from, I don't know. But that was the heat of it. So we got there at 9. It was 3 o'clock. The bus was leaving to pick the girls up for VBS. And the choice came there. Do we leave now and that just be it for the day? Or do we stick around and work till the girls are done VBS? It's another 3.5 hours of working for us. And, well, we said Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but I think it was hardened against the devil, and that's the truth of it, because it was in that moment that the Jamaicans we were working with, they realized we're not just another team. We're not just there to work when we want to and then go off and spend the evening with ourselves and do whatever we want. We weren't there for vacation. We took our own time. We took God's time, and we put it towards that building. And that really made a difference, because that first day we were there, it was the Canadian team and then the national workers on the job site. And then the morning of Monday, it was that as well. But then Tuesday, it was completely different. We were all just one team. We were all just there to work. And that just amazed me. And like, I hear it still, like, how they miss us and they want us to, like, they saw the difference in us. And like, it was just incredible to me. And like, coming home was really hard for me, because coming from working, doing God's work, doing what I feel like led to do, coming back to be in school, it just felt so wrong. And it was hard. Like, if I could have stayed, I would have. But God had different plans, and like, they're not what I have in mind, but He knows what He's doing. And often, like, too often, I forget that we have a missions field here. We give this term missionaries to people who go away. We all are missionaries. We all are called to spread the good news. And I often forget that. But from now on, I'm going to be sharing that in my school and in my life, and not just this one week out of the year when I'm gone into another country. But I need to be doing it every day and every hour of every day. That's it. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Jackson. And first of all, I just like to start off as well by saying thank you so much to each and every one of you for your generous love and support during our time in Jamaica and before we went. And also Pastor Jacques for those little notes of confidence. They were a great booster for us all. And to Larry for standing by me to go. Jamaica missions trip. Wow. What an opportunity. But for me, no, this is not for me. It's for teachers and for leaders. So I thought. But God, He had already begun a work in my heart. I argued with myself about all the reasons why I couldn't go to Jamaica. It would mean time off work. My family would never agree to it, and I couldn't afford to do that. Really, it was just plain fear. The idea of going to Jamaica became so heavy on my heart, I could no longer resist. Here I am, Lord. If you want me to go to Jamaica, you will clear the way, and clear the way He did. I had the support of my family, the church family, and God's grace. Jamaica has been a great learning experience for me. I was excited that God had chosen me to be an ambassador for Him. Upon arriving in Jamaica, I was very nervous that I would be pulled aside and be questioned, taken to a room separated from the Jamaican team. And I'd been praying all the way that this wouldn't happen to me. Well, I went through customs just fine, was asked a few questions, answered the questions, and was allowed to go through. And upon waiting outside for the team, no one was there. I was alone, but I wasn't on the inside. They were. They all got pulled aside, taken to a room, and were questioned. I was the only one that got through. So God had worked there very well. I did not wind up being one of the questions, but it was wonderful. And once in Jamaica, our plans had already begun to change. The barrels had been delayed, which meant the necessary tools needed to work with were not there. We did have time, which meant we could plan for days ahead. After much preparation and organizing what we had brought, we were heading out under the tree for prayer time, when suddenly I felt inadequate for the job God had chosen me for. I began to cry. God showed His love right then and there through the support of my team members. After all, He had sent a team, not me. God needed me to be willing and trust in Him, and He would do the rest. Waking up early one morning, I thought, boy, am I tired. I really don't want to go today. Upon arriving at the church, getting set up and ready for the children, some of who were already there, I stepped outside feeling tired and not wanting to do anything. And then I saw Clint limping toward the ladder, ready to take on the day. I asked him how his blistered feet were doing, and quite simply he replied, oh, after a few minutes they'll be numb, and I won't even notice. This was God's subtle way of telling me, quit your whining, you have nothing to whine about. Seeing the children arrive day after day, walking great distances to get there was so amazing. Even if it was for a piece of candy at the end of the day, they heard the gospel, and 12 came to know the Lord. God has taught me how important prayer is in our everyday lives. I remember telling Larry that I would not be able to talk to him for 12 days, but he would get messages passed through the church. He was very upset that he would not be able to speak to me for those 12 days. Well, that's how God feels when we don't spend time with Him every day. When we would gather to pray, you could feel God's Spirit surrounding us, letting us know that no matter what happened, He was with us. I knew we had to be aware of dangers we faced, but I was never afraid. I am thankful that God chose me to be an ambassador for him. It has grown me in ways I never thought possible. And Ephesians 3:20-21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Good evening. First of all, I wanted to start by saying that toad was no substitute for Ryan, but down there the toads are like that big. A big toad means it can hold a lot more pee. It was not pretty. One thing that really was incredible on a team this size going down to another country where we're completely out of our element, completely maybe away from friends, family, spouses, on our own down there, but we weren't on our own. We were together. The whole time we were one team. There was not one single time where there was any conflict between any of the team members here. We were just unified. God just brought us together. And one way we really did that was every evening before bed, we would have what we call the check-in, where we'd all go around the circle and say how each one of us felt and what God had done, either praise or even if we were discouraged, and others would come alongside us and just encourage us. And it was just such a blessing. Even the students, some of the students joined in for that, and they were blessed by that time of sharing as well. It was incredible, but I must say that having three sets of bunk beds and a wee tiny little room with six women in it, two very energetic women in that room, I remember one night laying in bed there after I'd fallen asleep and hearing just this shrieking giggling in my ears from the bunk bed right beside mine and going, oh, I can't wait till I'm home with Ryan again. He sleeps so quietly. And then when I got home, I wanted to ask Ryan, do you mind just as soon as I fall asleep shrieking in my ear for just a few minutes? But no, it was definitely an incredible blessing being with this team, each and every one of them, and the students we met down there as well. There were so many, I guess, small moments that just really, really touched me and just made this trip just so incredible. As you saw the woman on the screen when we were at the seniors' home singing, that was the second group we had gone to. We had been singing for maybe an hour or so with another group of seniors, moved on to that group, and these seniors weren't able to walk out like the rest of them. Some of them were probably not able to move on their own or in wheelchairs, and we were just there singing with them and praising with them. And as we saw the woman on the screen, I remember watching her, and just one song, she was just so convicted, she was just beating her breast. And I was just like, where is that passion? Why don't we have that passion where she was just tears running down her face, beating her breast? And I said, that is the passion that we need to have when we serve God. That is what we should have in our hearts. That's what we should be doing. And that just really, really challenged me to have that same passion that she had. And like we said, we didn't even know that she was blind at the time. And here she was just worshiping, just glowing. And afterwards she said to me, she said, I'll see you in glory. And I had nothing else to say but amen to that. That was just so incredible. And again, with the boys, a couple boys had been saved, and I was also doing crafts, and they came up to me and they said, Miss, we really need to do this booklet. And I said, I'm sorry, you have to go in. There's just no more time. We just can't do it today. And they just looked so disappointed. I said, you know what, I'll put the books together with the verses in them for you boys. And there they were right afterwards. And I said, why do you want these so badly? And they said, because we have so many friends and family that we just have to share Jesus with. And I was just like, these boys were just young, young little boys, and they just had such an incredible passion, just that fire. And I said, where is that fire? We should all have that fire ourselves. God was amazing. When we got to Jamaica, when we were going through, just being checked through our luggage and whatnot, one of the girls there who was working there, she said, oh, could I have a Bible? And we saw God working from the moment we landed. She really wanted a Bible to read, so we gave her a Bible. And I had a couple of the teens come out, or even people my age or a little bit older than me, and I had one guy in particular say, could I have a Bible? Do you just have an extra Bible? I don't own a Bible. And all the kids around said, oh yeah, he really needs a Bible. And it just really stood out to me. And I got a chance to talk with him later on in the week. And I talked with him, and I said, do you know Jesus? And he said, no. He goes, I want to, but life is just too busy right now. He said, I don't have time right now for Jesus. He said, there's so many things I want to do. I want to get a better job. I want to go off to school. And I said, you know what? There will be no better time than now. We don't know how many days God has given us. We don't know if tonight will be our last night, if that will be our last chance to accept him. And so I had the chance to pray with him, and I really hope that he made that decision and that he didn't wait, because we never know when it's too late. So that really stood out to me. Am I sharing Christ with everybody around me? What if it's their last chance? What if they don't have another chance? And so that really stood out to me as well. And just being back home again, God has just given me this passion just to share him with others. I started school last week at Durham Continuing Education to finish high school. I never got a chance to finish high school. And there, most of the people have been in contact with the law. Many have been in jail, have been in prison. There are just so many broken lives there at this school. And I said, man, this is just such a witness field. Like, I just have so many chances. And one of the first assignments our English teacher gave us was, we had talked about language, and the kids had kind of laughed about swearing and vulgar language and said, oh, you know, it's just a part of our a part of our words, that's just what we do, that's what we say, it's part of our language. And I noticed this part in the assignment, and it talked about taming the tongue. And I was just like, this is great. And I said in the assignment, I said, you know what, this isn't a new term. This goes back thousands of years ago. It was in the Bible about taming the tongue. And just chance after chance, God's given me the chance just to either talk about the trip or talk about the Bible. And it's just incredible, the chances I've had. And I just want to challenge all of you, just take those chances. We never know whether that friend or that coworker or that family member, if we'll see them again. We don't know. We don't know what time we have with them. And if we truly care about them, then we will share Christ with them. Thank you.